Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
We want to welcome all of you to the third annual PlayStation Experience. I'm thinking we should just do this every year, right? One interesting fact about today, the 3rd of December, this is the PlayStation birthday.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 619. This is Paris, and I'm here with Pete.
What up?
Danny's out. He's at the Magic Kingdom chasing around Pluto and Goofy or whatever it is he's doing. So he'll be back on our next episode. But just Pete and I this week, and we're going to recap PlayStation Experience and the Game Awards. So, Pete, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been an interesting couple of days for video games. And I've got some personal things I wanted to talk about the Game Awards. So let's just... kick this off.
Right. Let's go ahead and jump into it. So, Danny, why don't you let everyone know where they can send us feedback?
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And of course, you can also go to our website, gamertagradio.com, or you can check us out over at play.it. And we can be found on Twitter at Gamertag Radio and our Facebook page at Gamertag Radio. Right? I think that's right. Okay. Anyways, who cares? Okay. So let's go. So the Game Awards, let's kick this off. So it was this last Thursday. I watched it via YouTube. I don't know how you watched it, Pete. And it was pretty interesting. So first and foremost, before you get into your personal thoughts, I thought it was great that Jeff Keighley kicked off the show with the tribute honoring Hideo Kojima.
We often talk about great games on our stage, but for a minute, I want to talk about a great man behind those games. Last year, Hideo Kojima's world was turned upside down when he left Konami after the completion of Metal Gear Solid 5. We all have tough times to go through, but the true test of one's character comes in how we react to those moments we don't control. When judgments are made or when decisions are rendered upon us by others that we sometimes can't comprehend. I think what happened to Hideo Kojima last year was a tragedy, but he never complained. He just sat in an isolated room for months, looked inside himself, and focused on his art. He hoped that his love of entertaining us would carry him through the darkest days of his career, and we thank him for all that he went through. You know, when I've questioned things in my own life over the past 2 years, I've drawn strength from seeing firsthand how Hideo dealt with this inflection point of his life. He is one of the most principled, loyal, and ethical men I have ever met. And I'm just so honored to call you a friend above everything else, Hideo. Yeah. Now, this trophy right here, I got to tell you about this, because for most of the past year, I've tried very unsuccessfully to give Hideo the award he rightfully won last year for Metal Gear Solid 5. Keep talking to him and his producer Ken, and it's like I can't get this to him. I first offered to ship it to him, but I couldn't get the address of his new studio. Then I said I'd drive this myself out to Las Vegas to personally hand to him when I saw him in February, and he politely declined that. And I soon found out why. He is such a principled person that eventually word came back to me that Hideo just said, Jeff, I can't have that blood on my hands. He had to move on. And today, Hideo is rebuilding his life and his studio with our support. And like Snake said in MGS, Hideo knows that a strong man doesn't need to read his future. He makes his own. Hideo, tonight it is finally time to give you one of these. You're one of the most deserving men to have one. You've always been there for me, and you have never disappointed me. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our industry icon, Mr. Hideo Kojima.
And just the debacle last year where he wasn't allowed to accept his reward at the show, and he got his award this year, and then they jumped right into that trailer for Death Stranding, you know, that featured Mads Mikkelsen and obviously Guillermo del Toro. So your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree that Hideo finally getting his moment is probably one of the highlights of the show. You see, from an emotional perspective, you could see how much that meant to Jeff himself. And I think that was, you know, I think that was pretty indicative of, I guess, the rest of the gaming industry. Well, maybe except Konami. But yeah, Death Stranding definitely has me peaked. And that's running. That was what we saw was running on the PlayStation 4 Pro and allegedly using the Horizon game engine.
Yeah, it was a Horizon. The Horizon Zero Dawn engine. It's not allegedly, they've confirmed it, that is the engine okay. That it was running on. And yeah, the demo that we saw at the Game Awards was running on a PlayStation 4 Pro.
So I guess that just goes to show you just how well Kojima and his team work, because I look at the Death Stranding stuff and then I see the Horizon Zero Dawn stuff, and it's not a knock on the systems, but why can Kojima do that and nobody else can do that, right? Like, why does...
I would disagree with that.
Really?
I think we saw a great example of another team that can obviously squeeze that kind of performance out of a PlayStation, and they're called Naughty Dog.
But is Naughty Dog using that engine, though?
No, they're not using that engine, but
right,
engine is just preference. It's just what a team right. wants to use.
I guess. I'm just saying, why does Horizon, and not as a knock against the game, because obviously that game looks good too, but why does Horizon's game look the way it does? But then you look at Death Stranding, it's funny because my wife was looking at it from the kitchen that night, and she was like, is that a movie at the beginning of the trailer? And it was like, no, that's a video game. You know, my wife, you know, she plays, you know, video games, so she knows, she can usually typically see the difference. But yeah, that just goes to show you just how much games have changed, you know, over the last couple of years. And again, shout outs to Hideo finally getting his moment. That was a pretty good thing. I like that.
I would say this, as far as you're comparing it to the actual Horizon Zero Dawn game and what we've seen so far with Death Stranding, that isn't a game. We've seen actual gameplay from Horizon Zero Dawn. So we know right. this is what the game's going to be like when it comes out in February. Whereas this has just been a series of, and I'm doing air quotes here, Kojima moments. That it ain't a game. It's just from the mind of Kojima. We still don't know what this game's going to be when it comes out, or when it even is going to come out, because most likely this is still very early days for this game. I wouldn't even expect to see this thing until probably 2019 at the earliest, to be honest with you. So the fact that we're seeing, look, we've been fooled in the past by these amazing demos. Oh my God, the game looks absolutely amazing. And then by the time it comes out, it's been downgraded somewhat to optimize it for people to actually play it.
Right.
And along those same lines, we know it's not going to look like that on the PlayStation 4. I mean, maybe could get close to that on the Pro, but I'm not going to downgrade, because to me, Horizon Zero Dawn looks fantastic. I mean, it's an anticipated game for me next year. So the fact that what we see with Death Stranding looks amazing. Look, if Kojima's team can be actual gameplay when we get to sit down to play it, hey, more power to them. But I think Horizon Zero Dawn looks pretty good as well. But again, not to downgrade either game, because I mean, you know, Kojima has been an amazing developer over the years. And when I was watching it, the people I was watching with, shout out to the guys over at Spawn on Me, you know, I was having a conversation with Cicero, and I was even saying that as much as I respect Kojima, I've not enjoyed a Kojima game in well over a decade. And that's not a knock against him. It's just his style versus what I prefer to play. Like, mm-hmm. I've just not been into these last Metal Gears at all. You know, if anything, I think Metal Gear Solid 2 left such a sour taste in my mouth. I've always been very apprehensive to them. But just these last few in particular just have not been what I've wanted for Metal Gear. And again, it's not a knock against him, because, again, he's a legendary developer. I mean, he's innovated so many things in his industry. But it just goes to show you, you're not going to please everyone. But at the same time, to see Jeff Keighley up there getting very emotional, because we thought tears were about to start flowing as he was talking about Kojima and just all the appreciation and admiration that he has for that man. And it's like, yeah, man, I totally get it. I may not be his audience necessarily anymore. Like, I look at Death Stranding and it just looks weird to me. So I don't know what kind of game's actually going to come out of this. But at the same time, I respect that it's coming from Kojima, and he's probably going to do something very innovative in this space.
Now, is that because maybe you have more of a preference towards action-based versus narrative-driven type games?
I just think he has weird preferences, and that's not necessarily what I like. That's all.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah, okay. But moving on, just overall with the game show, let's just go down the list, hit a couple other things really quick. So, Nintendo, obviously, Reggie came out on screen, or not on screen, he came out on stage.
30 years ago, The Legend of Zelda launched for the Famicom in Japan. As more and more people around the world played the game, they came to understand what we all know today. The series is special. 2 years ago, we shared during the Game Awards the first ever gameplay footage from The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, showing Link doing things he's never been able to do before in a world filled with imagination and adventure. At E3 this year, we devoted our entire booth to The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and attendees got to experience a huge and groundbreaking experience, one that clearly breaks with previous conventions for Zelda. Earlier tonight, we debuted a new trailer showing more of the natural beauty and the danger in this vast world of Hyrule, as well as new friends and new foes that Link will encounter in this new adventure. But we're not yet done. There's even more that we want to share with you tonight. So let's take a look.
Okay, let me pause on Reggie for a second. Is it me, or is he getting more and more robotic as the years go on? Like, I feel like Reggie...
He's a host.
Yeah. He's become very just straight, stick to the script. Like, I feel like when Reggie first, you know, debuted in the mid-2000s as a face for Nintendo, he was very non-Nintendo, what we expected from Nintendo. He's very brash and bold and all that. And it just seems over the years, he's really toned that down to the point where, like I said, he was on stage the other day and he just seemed very robotic to me, but yeah, whatever. So going back to Zelda, obviously they did, they had some folks from Nintendo Treehouse sit down on the couch and they did a Zelda night, and they did it on the Wii U, nothing on the Switch, because obviously they're going to hold that until January. But what were your thoughts on that Zelda demo they showed?
I'm getting more and more intrigued, and I may have to do some moonwalking here. The game looks very, very interesting. It's kind of like, and I think I've said this before, it looks kind of like a cartoony Witcher 3 with the way, you know, just the gameplay itself has portrayed it, you know, on the screen. And I'm starting to really dig and looking forward to seeing what they're doing. I don't know if playing it on the Wii U was maybe a good thing for Nintendo. Especially if the Wii U is going away, why showcase it? But I totally get them saying, okay, we're just going to step away from the Switch and maybe not in and, you know, just show you what the game is all about as opposed to regard, you know, who cares the tech pushing it, you know, let's just show you more gameplay. And I like it. I'm and maybe that's me just maturing as a gamer where I'm actually starting to get appreciative of other game types that are non-shooter based. And, I kind of dig it. I like it. And maybe it's just because it's more refreshing to me that it's not, I'm not running around with a gun, you know, doing, you know, close quarter combat and things like that. It's giving me more appreciation of other game types.
No, agreed. And like you said, it does look like more of a kind of a cel shadery Witcher 3, which is a good thing. This is definitely going to be a game along those lines of a Witcher or Skyrim. So I'm in that open world feel. And I love in the demo that they teased something really cool off in the background, you know, like it looks like it's going to be some type of dungeon or whatever, but it still had that Zelda feel to it. The control scheme didn't look overly complicated over the things that they're doing. The enemy types look pretty interesting as well. And yeah, I'm very interested in it. Obviously it's something, it's been rumored now it's not going to launch with the Switch. It's probably going to come summer 2017. And I found it interesting that they did just say it was coming out in 2017. They wouldn't say spring or anything along those lines.
Right, they didn't give a quarter.
Exactly. So it's anticipated. At this point, if Nintendo needs more time, development time, and it gets pushed into summer or even to the fall of 2017, do what you got to do. I just want it to be a great Zelda game that I can highly anticipate and want to play again. And, you know, like I said, they're showing it on the Wii. And most likely by the time it does come out, I'm pretty sure I'll have a Switch. So I'll probably wind up picking up on the Switch. But I keep having this feeling in the back of my head that I should get it on the Wii U for some reason. But we'll have to wait till January to see what all the specs of the Switch are going to be and just power-wise comparable, you know, with that Tegra chip. Because I do wonder, is it going to be a better experience on the Wii U than it would be on the Switch? But again, we'll have to wait until January to see.
Is that because the Wii U is already established hardware? Yeah. You know what it can do, exactly. As opposed to the Switch is the unknown?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we have to wait till January to just see what Nintendo was promising performance-wise from the Switch compared to what the Wii U was going to be. Because you still got to remember, the Wii U with that tablet, there's probably going to be a lot of cool different things that you can do on the tablet that'll translate to the screen. I mean, I'm not looking at Zelda as something that I necessarily need to play on the go. So that portion of the Switch isn't an appeal to me. So even if I just played it on the tablet, I can play the tablet all around my house versus obviously playing it on the television. So, I mean, again, we'll see. We'll see when they officially put a launch date on it and we know it's coming.
That's one of the things that kind of, I don't want to say irk me, but it kind of leaves you up in the air, because if there's gameplay that might be not to say that it's required, but if you get better immersion as a result of using the Switch control versus using the Wii U, do you think that may sway your decision? Or do you think that it's not going to be a hardware related thing where you're not going to get more immersion or more a bigger, better experience by using the Switch tech versus using it on the older Wii U and the tablet?
I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, we know that the Switch, you'll be able to have that Pro controller, which is something I was planning to pick up regardless. So, So I think the control scheme isn't going to necessarily be the issue. I'm just curious to see if the Wii U performance wise has any advantage over the Switch. That's all. Mm. You know, maybe I'm assuming it probably doesn't. The Switch is probably going to be the definitive version, to pick up. But, you know, I just got to wait and see. I mean, right. You know, Nintendo is obviously keeping everything with the Switch very close to the vest. So we'd have to wait until January before we get any real answers on that.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
But moving on with the Game Awards. So one thing I have to point out, because I know a lot of people were getting a little upset over this. The Witcher 3, the Blood and Wine expansion.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
one best RPG, which, you know, not to give any quote unquote spoilers into what our Game of the Year discussion, Witcher 3 is going to be in my Game of the Year discussion again. So, so this absolutely deserved it, because name me an RPG that was better than 2016.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, that's one of the surprises that it won best RPG. Me, I really can't speak on it because I don't know if I could probably even name another RPG that came out in 2016. And on the plus side, if you really think about it, it's essentially a full game in and of itself, right?
Exactly.
But should DLCs win full categories, or should they stand on their own as maybe their own category of maybe best DLC?
If you would have asked me this a few years ago, I would have said no. But the fact that we're starting to see, and obviously when we get into PSX, we'll talk about this more. The fact that we're starting to see established games have expansions to them / DLCs to them that are fleshing out the story even more, or focusing on other characters and fleshing them out more. And they're full on experiences. Why not? You know, why can't a DLC, if it comes out in a calendar year and you're getting this full immersive experience, why can't it not? If it's that good, why are we saying, no, that can't count, even though it was really great because the core game came out the year before? Doesn't make sense to me. Why not? Right.
And I definitely see the tie-in, and it's something I wanted to talk to you about for that later on in the show. But to go back to your original point on this, why is it that something like maybe Rogue One or the Han Solo movie won't stand on its own because it's
tied
to the original series?
But why wouldn't it?
I don't know, because I remember a couple discussions ago, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, if it was just you and I. No, this was actually you and I were talking about this in Paris with a couple of other people about how the whole Star Wars discussion of... Never mind.
No, not that you brought it up. What I was saying on that was, because I remember the conversation now when we're in Paris, is I don't think the Han Solo movie is needed. that was my whole point. It wasn't that it can't stand on its own. Like we look at Rogue One, obviously about to come out, and you know, we know that Han Solo movie's coming out, and allegedly a Boba Fett movie's coming out. Of those three, I think the Boba Fett movie would make the most sense as its own standalone thing, because you're telling a story that's never been told at all in the quote unquote Star Wars universe. The story of Boba Fett and how he came to be who he is. We really don't know that. I mean, Rogue One, look, we know many Bothans died to get us this information. That's the story that's being told. But we know it's tied into this canon that there's not a lot of flexibility on where it's... We know how it's going to end, right? So it's same with Han Solo. We know no matter what they show with young Han Solo, we know ultimately where he ends. Whereas Boba Fett, there's a big fat question mark over his head, because in the extended universe, he gets out of that pit, right? So what happens next? We have no idea. So they could tell that story if they wanted to.
Well, that's the thing. They have history on that, because they showed how he was created. Whereas with Han Solo, you just know that, you know, he was flying the, you know, he was flying the Falcon.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't really know all that history of him, you know, what transcended for him to become, you know, the scoundrel. Right. His growing up and being best friends with young Lando Calrissian, who's going to be Donald Glover. And we've just gone. We made a left turn and went off road here with the show. So let's just get back into the.
Yeah. It's fine. This is a video game podcast, but hey, sometimes we're going to tangent on things. It's fine. So going back to the Game Awards, because I'm curious what you think on this, because I've not played the game, so I can't really comment on it too much. But the fact that Overwatch won Game of the Year, how do you feel about that?
I'm totally okay with that. I am 100% okay with that, because as kind of a sneak preview, like you said, with Blood and Wine and The Witcher 3 DLC for Game of the Year contention, it's most definitely on my list. It's probably top three Game of the Year for me.
Oh, that's good. And, you know, I keep hearing everyone give so much praise to this game. I definitely need to jump in and start playing it. I just need to figure out which platform I'm going to play it on.
I would honestly say play on PC, especially if you're playing a shooter online, go PC. because this isn't a game that you're looking at from a graphical perspective where it looks and just blows your mind in the vein of, you know, any of these other games like Titanfall 2, etc. It's got that cartoony feel, but the gameplay is so butter smooth. It's so good. It's so much fun. Hell, I've played on PC and on PlayStation 4. That's how good it is.
Nice. I will definitely have to check that out. Again, just add it to the list. There's so many things I got to get into and start playing.
So one of the things I wanted to talk about with the game show, what was your favorite moment? Because for me, it was more of a personal moment, which was the developer for That Dragon Cancer. When he came out on stage to accept the award.
That Dragon Cancer.
That Dragon Cancer exists because my wife Amy, my children, Caleb, Isaac, Elijah, and Zoe, my business partner Josh, our team, John, Brock, Ryan, Mike, and Chris, our friends who are at Ouya, Kelly, Julie, Bob, and Jared, our over 3,000 Kickstarter backers, Indie Fund, and this entire industry believed it should exist. Often in video games, we get to choose how we're seen. Our avatars and our tweets and the work that we do are all meant to portray the story that we want to tell the world about why our lives matter. But sometimes the story is written onto us, or it's told because of us or in spite of us. And it reveals our weaknesses, our failures, our hopes, and our fears. You let us tell the story of my son, Joel. And in the end, it was not the story that we wanted to tell. But you chose to love us through our grief by being willing to stop and to listen and to not turn away. To let my son Joel's life change you because you chose to see him and to experience how we loved him. And I have hope that when we are all willing to see each other, not for just who we want to be, but who we are and who we're meant to be, this act of love and this act of grace can change the world. Thank you.
I can't imagine there being many dry eyes. I'm actually getting goosebumps and starting to get a little verklempt here. Having people close to me that have been affected by cancer, obviously, you know, Trixie, my mom, my grandfather, Karina, our good friend who we dedicated last week's show to, it cuts deep and it cuts close. And to have something like that be brought up, I think, you know, was huge. And I think that's for me, it was a great personal moment to hear, you know, that for him to dedicate the award to his son and things like that. Was there a favorite moment for you?
Well, my favorite moment would have to be Mass Effect Andromeda, which I wanted to get into next. So
perfect.
I guess we'll transition right into it. I mean, it was a moment for me because you know, I've just been anticipating this game for so long to finally see some gameplay from it and to kind of see the direction that BioWare is going to go with this new Andromeda universe has me excited. Look, and they've already admitted it. They still need to work on some of the facial expressions in the animations because they looked very robotic and very 2007-ish in their look. So those are going to need to be updated. But I think overall, to see a lot of the old alien races come back and to see them interacting in this world and just, you know, obviously the direction that they're going with the combat, I'm excited for it. It's definitely on my most anticipated list coming out this spring or spring 2017. It was great. What did you think of it?
Do you think it's going to hit that March 2017 release date?
I hope. the fact that they keep saying spring kind of locks them into, I think spring ends in April, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because I think
so everything that I've looked up and I'm looking at right now, it's showing, you know, everybody saying March 2017. Obviously it's the internet, so it doesn't, unless EA themselves or BioWare comes out and gives the definitive date. But if they're still working on facial expressions and things like of that nature, I'm kind of being standoffish by saying I'm going to wait. I want them to polish it and give me a full, complete game and not have to wait for, you know, and hope it doesn't get, you know, a bad moment for its launch. You know, I want it to come out right. And obviously I'm late to the Mass Effect hype train. But I did pick up 1, 2, and 3 on PC. And then obviously I played 3 on launch, but I don't know. I'm kind of having a feeling that it's going to get delayed.
I hope not. The fact that they're at this late date in December, they were still saying on stage spring 2017 gives me hope. EA in their last financial call said spring 2017. If they were going to delay it at this point, it would be very disappointing because they could come out now and say, look, it's coming in 2017 and not lock an actual, you know, range into place, kind of similar to what Nintendo has done with Zelda. So I'm not going to say I'm confident that it's coming in spring 2017, but I'll give it 60-40 that it is, you know, which means probably by the end of April, we should be seeing this game, which is fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. Again, I'm conflicted on what platform I should pick it on. I'm leaning PC, but part of what will come into play on that for me is going to be the multiplayer and what they do. Because like Mass Effect 3 multiplayer isn't something I really got into. It was fun, but it wasn't something I was super dedicated to. If I feel the same when the information comes out about this one, where it's not something I'm going to truly invest into, then I'll just get it ultimately on PC. That way I know I'm going to have the best visual fidelity and all that kind of stuff. But if I feel like I'm going to wind up playing multiplayer, I got a feeling I'll get it on a PlayStation 4 Pro.
All right.
And we know you'll get it on Emerald.
I honestly don't know yet. I'm because I am not a big Mass Effect multiplayer person. I will probably either get it on PlayStation 4 or PC. More likely leaning towards PC just to get the campaign in a phenomenal looking setting where I'm not going to get it that on PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
Right.
So
any last things from you on the Game Awards before we move on?
Yeah. So first I just wanted the Schick Hydrobot stuff. That was very cringeworthy for me. Like I get it. It's part of the marketing and advertising that's needed by Jeff for funding the entire show, which in comparison to every other Game Awards, it looked phenomenal. You know, kudos to Jeff for pulling all of this together. But the one thing I wanted to talk about was, I know there was a discussion on social media about what's the true ceremony for the industry. Is it the Game Awards or is it DICE with their, you know, from the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences? And I just wanted to hear your perspective or your thoughts on this. Is DICE kind of like the Hall of Fame for the year versus the Game Awards as the All-Star Show?
Well, here's the thing. Look at like the Oscars, right? That's the big glitz show. That's the one that the common person knows about, right? Mm-hmm. So when I look at the Game Awards and I compare it to DICE, it's similar in that way. Whereas I feel like the Game Awards is the show that everyone knows about. And to kind of circle back to what you were saying at the beginning, Jeff Keighley's done an amazing job with this award show from what it used to be on Spike, where it became more about the celebrities that were on stage versus the actual people that were making the games, to the horror show that we got with him and Joel McHale, where it was just very sterile and obviously very awkward, with Joel McHale not respecting, you know, the gaming industry as he was making all his jokes, to, you know, it turned into Vegas and what we had last year. Now here we are in that third year of this iteration. And, you know, he was even on here with Danny and I, and we talked about this, and he was very sincere about wanting our feedback and wanting to know what he could do to make this show better. And we were very honest about, and this was after the Vegas show, and we're very honest about what we liked and what we didn't like. And I felt like he took that information to heart. And obviously I'm sure he's gotten plenty of other feedback along the way as well. What you talked about with the whole shaver razor thing, that's unfortunately, that's a necessary evil right now. Right. You gotta have that. So yeah, it was a kind of cringeworthy, the stuff with Bozeman and the comedy kind of cringeworthy a little bit. But right now, that's a necessary evil because someone has to pay for this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's still in its early days. I envision the Game Awards show 5 years from now being more of the Kojima moments versus what we see with the Bic Shaver. I don't even know the company that was. That's just how much I didn't
Schick.
Care
it
about
was Schick.
Yeah, it was Schick. Right. Okay. So, but to answer, go back to your question about that and DICE. I feel like DICE right now is the more, and along with, is it BAFTA? The one in the UK?
Yeah. BAFTA.
They're the more quote unquote prestigious shows right now, just as far as in our industry. But Keighley is slowly starting to make the game show the definitive show for everyone in the industry. Whereas, yeah, you want to be at that show and you want that award because that one means more than the other two. But right now, I would still say that DICE is the more prestigious in the industry award, but the everyone award is the game show. And I feel like this was the year that Keighley truly made it respectable, where there wasn't the cringe didn't outweigh the good, right. If that makes sense. So no, yeah, no, totally. I was very
happy. It's like the Oscars and the People's Choice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, great example. They're a great example. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Right. So
any winner that you may have disagreed with?
To be honest with you, no. I looked at everything that they showed. Like, I think it's so easy to give. Oh my God, I wanted to call him Nathan Fillion, but
Uncharted.
Uncharted. God, why am I blanking on his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Nolan.
No, yeah, Nolan North. I feel it's so easy to give him that award, and obviously his performance in Uncharted 4 was fantastic. So it's not like he doesn't deserve it. But there's so many other voice actors out there that do such an amazing job. It would be nice to see someone else be recognized other than him, because I think the common everyone knows Nolan North at this point. Right. So it's very easy to give him that award. So it would have been nice to see someone that's not as well known get that award so they can kind of have the spotlight and we can get more shine on him in the games that they do.
It was kind of hard not to give it to an Uncharted 4 character, right? Because you had Troy Baker and Emily Rose all nominated. Out of that, and you know, obviously Nolan won it. But the ones that like, I'm okay with the art direction choice for Inside. I was kind of more partial to Abzu from 505. Shout out to Dan Hevia and his team. But the one that I was like, okay, like I get it, but I would have given it to somebody else, was Best Narrative, going to Uncharted, where I thought it probably should have, in my personal opinion, obviously, you know, I am just one person's voice. I think Mafia 3 probably should have gotten it from Hangar 13 and 2K.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. And again, a game that I've not played, so I can't comment on it, but I've heard nothing but fine praise for it as well. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
I think that's it for the Game Awards. Any other thing?
No, I think that's about it. And I think from here we can shoot on over to the other major event from this week, which is PlayStation experience.
Yeah, PlayStation experience. So let's jump into that. First foremost, I was slated to go to it, but hey, family comes first. So unfortunately, I was not able to make it on Saturday to attend. And we're actually recording this on December 4th, Sunday morning. I'm going to the Buccaneers Charger game, so I will not be going to PlayStation experience today either. So unfortunately, I had to miss it. Hopefully next year, because I definitely want to attend one of these years. So, you know, I'm sure you watched the press briefing that they have. I watched it as well in between my son's football game. But first and foremost, they talked about Uncharted Lost Legacy, standalone story chapter featuring Chloe and Nadine. What are your thoughts on that?
Totally surprised that they actually paired together two totally different characters, like with Nadine and Chloe together into a game. Obviously, it's Naughty Dog, so it looks really, really good. Watching the trailer, during the one scene where she's going up the ladder, the first set of ladders outside of the building, I actually almost kind of got vertigo, like hoping she wasn't gonna fall, like in anticipation. That just goes to show you just how far along and how well Naughty Dog is at portraying the story and the narrative in games. And apparently Naughty Dog's been super busy over these last 7-8 months, right?
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah, we'll get into what else they've been doing towards the end. But yeah, seeing that, because I like I said, I was watching it on my mobile device and I didn't get into it right away. So I'm like, what the hell is this game? What is this? And then at the end, you I was like, oh wait, this is Uncharted. This is great. And I love that Naughty Dog is able to do this. I love that. And I like the phrasing that this is a standalone story chapter. So, because we know, obviously, you play an Uncharted series, everything's broken up into chapters. This isn't going to be a full game, but it is going to be a standalone experience. I'm assuming it's probably just going to be downloadable. They won't have physical copies or anything. Probably charge you $20 for it, give you a few hours of gameplay, and tell their story of these side characters. And hopefully we'll see, and I'm sure this is kind of like a test bed, right, to see how well this does. And if it does well, we'll probably start seeing more of these coming from that Uncharted universe. Whereas instead of just giving us a full game at this point, they have this fantastic engine that they use for Uncharted 4, and they can basically pump out these side stories and flesh out the other characters. And then eventually when they do an Uncharted 5, whoever winds up starring in it will be familiar with that character at that point, and we can be invested in that side character now carrying the franchise forward.
Yeah, it should be interesting seeing, you know, if they do something, you know, maybe grabbing Sam's storyline, maybe Thomas or not Thomas, but who is Cassie? I'm sorry, his daughter Cassie. Seeing if they maybe translate that into
let's not do spoilers. Let's no spoilers. That's why I'm being vague.
That's right. It's almost the end of the year, and you still haven't finished Uncharted.
Yeah, and I said that 2 weeks ago. I told you I would finish playing it. So no spoilers. That's why I'm being vague on that. No spoilers. So like the whole point of this is I like this approach that Sony and Naughty Dog is doing with DLC, because and again, this kind of goes back to the whole Witcher 3 Blood and Wine thing. Just because the core game comes out in 1 year doesn't mean that the story has to end there, you know, right. And you don't have to do a full complete game 3-4 years down the road to continue telling that story if there's some things still to be said. And like I said, there's so many characters now in this Uncharted universe that we don't know their entire stories, that now those stories can start to be told. So yeah, I'm digging it.
Yep. And then, you know, sticking with the Naughty Dog storyline, The Last of Us 2.
Oh, I didn't want to do that yet, but let's go ahead and do it.
Okay, well, then if you want, we'll just chop that out and just keep on moving.
let's talk about it. So they obviously closed the show with Last of Us 2.
shadow of death, and I fear no evil, because I'm blind to it all. And my mind, my gun, they comfort me, because I know I'll kill my enemies when they come. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell on this earth forevermore. Said I walk beside the still waters and they restore my soul, but I can't walk on the path of the right because I'm wrong.
What are you doing, kiddo? You really gonna go through with this?
I'm gonna find, and I'm gonna kill every last one of them.
To me, wasn't a surprise. I was really anticipating this coming. And I think the biggest thing to come out of this wasn't during the show. It was the after show, in that obviously Joel and Ellie are back, and they teased out what the story potentially could be. But the fact that Neil Gaiman admitted they didn't have a story for this game for years. And no spoilers on The Last of Us, because if you've not finished that story, you really need to. But they didn't need to make a sequel. If you played The Last of Us, the way it ended was perfect. It's kind of, to me, it's just Toy Story 3 of video games, whereas why the hell are you making a sequel? I don't know how you're going to top this kind of thing. And they bounced around stories for years to where now they finally feel like they have a story that they can tell. And what we got to see is very early days. This game's only been in development for a few months at this point. So I think the biggest thing people need to take out of this is, yeah, it's great. We know we're going to get a Last of Us 2. Don't expect this till 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, I think we need a clarification. It's Neil Druckmann, not
Druckmann. See, thank you. Thank you. I'm terrible this morning on names. Yeah,
Neil. It's still early for you, yeah. So you get a pass.
Yeah.
You get a pass on that. But yeah, I agree. 2019 at the minimum. For a full scale game such as The Last of Us 2, and I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. I mean, obviously, I think Last of Us originally won Game of the Year from multiple establishments. I think ours included. I think it was mine as well. So yeah, as soon as I saw that logo on the stop sign, I was like, "Oh, here he comes!" So yeah, that was very, very interested. Anything else really pop out from an overall perspective
of
PlayStation experience? What was let's take the Naughty Dog twins out of the scenario. What was the one that shocked you the most?
Nothing shocked me, so to speak, but let's just go down what came out of the show. Okay. Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. What did you think of that?
I want to know who that final boss is. I love seeing Ms. Marvel, obviously, being a big, you know, comic book fan nerd. Obviously Iron Man, he's the big happy one that everybody likes to see. I liked seeing the Mega Man with Ryu. That was pretty cool. But I want to know who that who that last guy was. I mean, at first when I saw the first set of eyes, I was like, all right, so maybe they're using Ultron. Then the second pair of eyes appeared on the chest, and I was like, okay, I have no idea who that is. I want to know more. Definitely got me interested.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not a super big fighting fan. I mean, again, I'm nowhere near the level of these guys we see going to tournaments or anything like that. But yeah, it looked fun. It looked like something I definitely would want to check out and play. And I like that Marvel versus Capcom 3, is it this month or is it early next month? I forget the exact time frame, but that's coming to PlayStation 4 as well. So people will get to play that too. Again, not that it was shocking to me, but I like that the Resident Evil 7, they're sticking to that January date. They're not going to push it back. And that final demo is coming out on PlayStation Network as well. And, you know, the whole, because if there's going to be a game that's going to push more AAA development into the VR space, it's probably going to be something like this, because I feel like the horror genre is the one thing that can really stand out in the VR space right now. So
Agreed.
I'm really hoping that Capcom's able to pull this off with Resident Evil 7. And then, again, not a shock, but it just shows me how old I am. The fact that Parappa the Rapper is coming back on PlayStation 4 along with Loco Roco and Patapon, and it's the 20-year edition of Parappa the Rapper. I'm like, my God, I'm old, because I still remember when that game came out. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I definitely want to play it. I just hope they don't overprice these things at all and they make them reasonable, just, you know, so you can download it real quick on the cheap and experience it. Because I don't know if you remember playing it back in the day. It's not a very long experience at all.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so, but that nostalgia is definitely there. So I'm looking forward to that.
And Crash Bandicoot too.
Yeah, yeah, and they're bringing back Crash, which I've never played a Crash Bandicoot. So wow. Is it fun?
It's stupid fun. It's kind of like Rayman Legends in a sense, where right. You know, it's silly couch fun where you can just sit there and play for a couple of hours and just, you know, lose brain cycles just playing a stupid fun game. It really is.
Yeah. But I mean, overall, they showed a lot of, like, hey, they actually talked about the Vita. I mean, there's games coming to the Vita, and they showed a lot of sizzle reels with other indie games coming, but they didn't put any dates on them or names on them. So I don't know what they are. You know what I mean? So yeah. I can't go back and research exactly what they are. I do like from Devolver Digital. I don't remember seeing this at E3 at all.
Yes. I know who you're going to go with.
Say
Absolver.
It. Yeah.
Absolver. So that, much fun.
Yeah.
Stupid fun.
Yeah. That looks like great fun. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But I mean, overall with PlayStation experience, just what I saw of the press briefing, and you know, I did go back and watch it once I got home, and I watched some of the developer talk. That's where I saw the whole Naughty Dog thing. They had some of the voice actors up there for Uncharted up there talking about that. And then they talked about The Last of Us 2 as well. You know, I've been saying it for the longest. I like PlayStation experience because it's a Sony focused event. They're talking about all the Sony stuff. And they own the message, and it's not nothing's lost in the noise of 20 million other announcements that we get at E3 this year. And I still think this is the future. I think eventually Microsoft is going to do it. I think we're going to see, obviously Nintendo does their Nintendo Direct stuff. EA is already kind of playing around with it with EA Play, and you know, eventually Ubisoft will probably do their own thing. I just think this is the way to go versus E3. And I know people think I'm crazy when I say that, but I like these specific platform events because I want all the information for that platform, and then I can make the choice later on what I like and I don't like versus E3. There's just so much information thrown at you at once that you have to, that a lot of it gets lost. It just does, you know, and you don't find out about things until months later because there's just so many games and so much information coming out from that event.
I get you. Do you think Knack 2 really deserves
it? Sold well. It actually sold well. So I'm not. And again, Mark Cerny is the one that's making it. Of course, he's going to get, if he wants to make Knack 2, they're not going to tell him no. And like I said, it actually sold well. So not surprised. Was good to see that they, you know, look, The Last Guardian is real. It's coming. So it was good to see them talking about that more. And is it next week? Next week?
I think so. Right? Do you have any, are you looking forward to that at all? Is that like a draw for you?
Not day one. I mean, it'll be something I'll eventually play, but it's not something I need to play day one. But hey, I know a lot of people are anticipating it. So I'll be very curious to get feedback on that when it does come out.
Okay. All right. I'm surprised you haven't mentioned MLB The Show 17.
You know, I've pretty much given up on sports games. I it was just a conscious decision of a few years ago. I don't get into sports games like I used to. I play NBA 2K with my son, but I play with my son. I don't play online. I don't play against anyone else. I just play against him. You know, it's, I don't know. I've just kind of lost my love for the sports games. Like, I've not touched a Madden game, God, in probably 5 years. And I've not touched MLB game in probably 3. And like I said, I've only gotten into NBA because of my son here in the last year or so. So I don't know. It looks good. It looks great. I mean, but I just don't have that pull to it. Now, I thought you were going to say this other game that I didn't mention, and I purposely was going to mention it because I think I talk about it too much, is Destiny. Obviously, they're coming out with the Dawning. SRL's coming back. Mm-hmm. New weapons. SRL is going to be around permanently now in private matches after your event is over, and it starts from December 13th until January 3rd. You know, they're remaking some strikes, things like that. But I'm at that time of year with Destiny, where Destiny is kind of going on the shelf for a little bit, and we talked about this already. But I mean, it's not my primary focus for gaming right now. I'll be back in the new year, but SRL is not something that's going to get me to jump out of my chair to go want to go play. Right. You know.
Right. So for me, the ones that I kind of, I like my, the ears perked up, kind of like when you whistle and the dog, like the head lifts up and turns to the side. Yakuza 6 finally coming to the United States.
Yep.
Dreadnought coming finally next year to people. That game's always been something that I've seen is from a trailer perspective. Like, wow, this is crazy. Neo. I played an early build of this at E3 and I wasn't super impressed. But this game looks amazingly polished right now. And it's, what's that other game that we saw that you and I played at E3 for Devolver Digital? I think it was Polish or.
Well, I mean, we played Shadow Warrior.
That's the one. It's kind of in that vein where it's, you know, you're not just limited to a sword or a spear. You're launching rockets and shotguns and swords and spears and it's kind of one of those crazy type games. That one really got me interested, considering the way it's advanced from what we play, you know, what I played at E3. The makers of Rezogun coming out with Nex Machina. Watching the trailer kind of reminded me of your favorite anime. Shout out to Vicious and Spike.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so seeing that, I was like, wow, that really reminds me of that. So that's kind of interesting. And then the other one that I saw that really, and I don't know if maybe it was the music or whatever, but Vayne. That trailer got me interested. Like, I want to know more about Vayne. So
yeah, it definitely looked good.
So was there anything else for you that caught your eye?
No, I mean, that was about it, really. You know, with this being, you know, like Sony's end of the year show. And I like that they didn't repeat things from E3. I think that was the biggest thing I took from this. We already know about Detroit. We already know about Days Gone. We already know about Horizon. We already know about God of War. I didn't need to see that again. You know, talk about things that we've not, Spider-Man included. Talk about new things. Focus on the smaller titles. Focus more on your VR stuff. Because, again, I still don't see what's getting me excited about VR. I've yet to see it, really. They had a sizzle reel for some VR stuff that's coming. But I'm still not seeing, and I'm doing the air quotes again, that game for VR. And like I said earlier, I hope Resident Evil maybe will become that game when it comes out in January. But we'll see. But overall, looked like a solid show. It's definitely something that I want to see coming back every year. You know, I think it has its place now in the industry. And it looked good to me.
Agreed.
So
anything else?
No, I think that's it. You know, Danny's probably going crazy. He's listening. He got to edit it all. But overall, I think that's it. You know, again, I think the Game Awards has become a must watch event. Every December now, like, I feel it truly has its purpose. PlayStation Experience has its purpose now. The one thing with the Game Awards I didn't talk about, I like all the various places that you could watch it. Again, just shout out to Jeff Keighley and his team for getting it on basically every platform possible. It was even in VR. And like, when I watched it on YouTube, I watched it in 4K. And I only a few times that I have a hiccup with streaming. The one thing I did notice, again, watching it with Spawn on Me guys, I was way behind them watching it in 4K. So it definitely, the buffer of the live stream had me. I was like probably a good minute behind them. They were seeing stuff way before I was. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? And then a minute later, okay, now I know. You know what I mean? But it looked great. Like I said, no issues with it at all. You could tell the production values that he's doing now, top notch. And it was good. Oh, and another thing with PlayStation Experience, I like that they had the crowd mic'd up too. So you're just hearing the passion coming from the crowd when they were making these announcements as well. So overall, yeah, great weekend for the gaming industry for sure.
Agreed. Any final thoughts?
No, I think that's it for me. Anything for you? Any final thoughts?
Again, going back to the cancer thing. Jimmy Superfly Snuka diagnosed with terminal cancer. He's got about 6 months to live. I know he's been, from a mental perspective, he's been undergoing some craziness in his life, but that's one of those wrestling moments. I know I'm not the wrestling person. I know you and Danny and Dave and a bunch of other people like to talk wrestling, but that's like one of those quote unquote folk heroes for me from growing up as a kid with wrestling, and to hear that him too, being diagnosed and him being terminal, it's just another, you know, pisses me off about cancer.
Yeah, agreed. 100% agree. Yeah, it's just such a terrible disease. But any last things from you before we get out of here?
No. Go Broncos. Good luck with you and your son at the Bucks game today.
I know. I'm super stoked for this. Eighth row, 50-yard line right behind the bench. Oof. So, yeah, it's going to be great. But, yeah, let's go ahead and get out of here. Danny, one more time, let everybody know where they can find us and leave us feedback.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, thanks once again. Danny will be on the next episode. And just to let you guys know, next episode, we're going to be able to start talking about what we did in Paris, France. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So Danny will be back. We'll be talking about our adventures in Europe on the next episode. But until then, this has been episode 619, Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete. We'll see you next episode.
Later.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.